Darren Dreger joining us ahead of the Leafs Rangers tonight, Dregs. And I'm curious how you would answer that question from, if you're playing the role of Sheldon Keefe, what do you have to see from either goalie to make an established choice here that, like, Samsonov's the guy? Samsonov would get a game one start between now and that actually taking place.
Yeah, without knowing exactly how, you know, the Toronto Maple Leafs break down their goalie schedule, Noodles might be able to weigh in on this. Like, again, not specific to Toronto, but how you would normally as we creep into, you know, not the later part, middle part of the second half of the season. You know, you have to be a little bit tighter, I think, but they love the idea of having competition in every position, you know. Certainly not with some of the guys that they're juggling on the back end, the bottom six of the lineup from a forward perspective. But, you know, why it wouldn't be a bad thing to have Murray come back. Sorry, I'm distracted. I've got a text coming in here and shouldn't really matter to the program, but it's related to another NHL topic. You know, whether it's Matt Murray or Ilya Samsonov, I mean, the good news is Samsonov of late has been solid, and prior to that, Matt Murray wasn't. So Matt Murray's had a little bit of time to reset and go through what he ever has to go through with Curtis Sanford. But best-case scenario, wouldn't it be, as you get to, again, the later stages of the regular season, that both guys sharp and ready, and then you have to make determination at that point. Right now, you know, Samsonov is the better of the two. But I can't imagine that Sheldon Keefe or, you know, management wants, you know, to not test it moving forward. Like, you know, for now it's Samsonov, but I got to believe they're going to give Matt Murray every opportunity to claw back and make that competition as fierce as it needs to be.
Yeah, I'll just finish off kind of what I was saying before we brought you in on Dregs too. Like, it wasn't that long ago when we were all having this conversation and Joe from the Bridge was putting up, you know, boards going, you know, Leafs goaltending concerns in the last 10 games. Both of those guys were struggling.
Yeah.
So, you know, O asked the question, like, what do you need to see? Well, stability and consistency. And out of both of them, then it becomes a coin flip and who you trust. So that's why I'm not there, because it wasn't that long ago that we were having a conversation going, what the hell's wrong with the Leafs goaltending? So you just can't pivot week to week. You need more consistency. That's where I was going.
Yeah, and I agree with that, and I think that's fair. And I honestly think that has to be the way Sheldon Keefe and the coaching staff are looking at this. And, you know, based on body language, based on reports I'm getting from the Maple Leafs, you know, it's not like Matt Murray is sitting there jilted and feeling that, you know, things are tough right now. No, I mean, it's part of fighting for your position. So I still think it's still healthy between those two guys.
With Darren Dreger, a TSN Hockey Insider. How is the league, based on who you were talking to, Dregs, how did they respond to Gary Bettman's claim last night that nobody tanks? The tanking doesn't exist in the NHL. Does anyone actually believe that, or do we all know the true answer?
No, I mean, well, you're leading the witness here.
Yes, I am.
I don't want to sound like a guy that beats a drum for Gary Bettman, but I do understand and I appreciate what he's saying, because to a degree I believe it. And you know, not to go down this path again, we all agree. Players are going to play. Coaches are going to coach. So it comes down to management and ownership. And, yeah, of course, there are certain situations, and you can, you know, pretty much identify right now who the teams are in the NHL, where management is being brutally honest with their coaches and their players. We're not giving you any help. This is what it is, and, in fact, we're going to move out players. That's the reality. So is that how we define tanking? I guess so. Probably.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I know that there were eyebrows raised when Cole Caulfield last week was, you know, all of a sudden deemed to be, you know, needing of shoulder surgery. But, you know, there's a situation where he probably played 10, maybe less games where it was dicey, where they felt like they were going to have to pull the plug. And then they just decided that they needed to. Well, is it convenient to the Montreal Canadiens? It certainly appears that way to be on the outside. And then from Caulfield's perspective, you know, he's having a great year. He's scoring goals, one of the few in Montreal. Why would he leave that much on the table when he's, you know, fully engaged in a contract extension? So Gary was what Bettman always is, right? He's dismissive, he's in your face, and he's borderline combative, which is unnecessary. Like, he defines what tanking is. Well, okay, well, 30 years ago, maybe, but that's not the way it is now. Like, no different than any other system that the NHL has developed, be it the salary cap system, whatever. These guys are smart people. They find ways to angle around it. So we can apply whatever word we want. Bettman doesn't like the word tanking. I get it to a point, but, I mean, let's be clear here. You're going to look at teams and how they unload in the very near future, and how do you describe it as anything other than clearing the deck so you've got a better opportunity to the draft and you can rebuild or try and get your foundation back in track? Well, what is that? What is that? I mean, it's kind of another definition, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the timing of it also, I think, hurts Bettman because of who is available this year, because it's Bedard. And he is now being ranked at a level where McDavid was and Crosby was. And O brought this point up earlier that I think where this tanking conversation gets to in terms of selling it is the owners are in on it. Because if your GM goes to you and says, hey, if we bring Bedard in, we're going to sell a million jerseys, we're going to sell tickets, we're going to be on national TV. Like, that is so valuable. Like, Connor Bedard is going to get an entry-level contract, but he's worth tens of millions, possibly hundreds of millions in terms of franchise value. That's what he represents.
Right. I agree, man. I agree. And, you know, we're not ready to, even though there's been that debate and much of it has been, you know, created by the Quizmaster, right? Like, leading up to the World Juniors. What Connor Bedard is he a superstar or is he a generational player? Well, how are we going to know that until we see this kid step onto the ice and be a star in the National Hockey League? But isn't it curious to most of us, we see all these trades in the Ontario Hockey League, and this player goes out for umpteen picks, and this player and that player. They're all very, very good players. You know, the Regina Pats did a great job very early on of saying, yeah, we're not interested in trading Connor Bedard. And maybe Bedard didn't want to get traded too, but what, like, he's not going back to the Western Hockey League next year. Like, where's the value in all that? Well, it has to be financial, at least from my perspective. So the jury is still out on what this kid is going to be. But what we know, as Bob McKenzie acknowledged earlier this week on SportsCenter, is that call him whatever you want. A star, a generational player, whatever, he is well ahead of the pack in terms of what June is going to look like at that draft. And anybody who's watched this kid play and saw him play and what he did at the World Juniors, I mean, you don't need to be a pro scout or an NHL general manager to realize what this kid is going to bring to your organization. But again, you know, to go back to the whole tanking theme, it fits in theory, but only from a help perspective and what your team is willing to do or not willing to do to make your club better until the end of the regular season. And that's where it becomes even more apparent, I would think.
Dregs, another number one overall pick has taken the ice tonight with the Rangers, Lafreniere. When do you think an organization says, we didn't take the right guy? With Timmy Stützle, he looks pretty good. Yeah. He signed that long-term contract. Like, when is it not too early to say, man, that's not the right guy?
I mean, it's a great question, and without sitting in those meetings, it's an educated guess, but I think it's a fair point, right? Because you look at the New York Rangers and, you know, this team that thought that they were going to be, you know, certainly a contending team, if not a top contending team this year, they needed those young guys to take another step. And not just Lafreniere, it's Kapokako on top of that. So, In my world now, we're starting to sort through the speculation of those type of names. Quentin Byfield's another name out of Los Angeles. I mean, God, we've even heard rumblings of, you know, would Ronnie Francis and the Seattle Kraken part with Shane Wright for, a good piece like Bo Horvat or Ryan O'Reilly? That, to me, seems excessive. Oh, you know Ronnie better than anyone. We know him as being a very conservative general manager. Bit early there, but have you seen enough in New York when you look at Lafreniere or you look at Capocacco to go, look, our window maybe isn't closing, but it's starting to lean a little bit, and here's our specific need. So if you're looking at a piece like that, I feel like, you know, you're only moving one of those parts if you're committing to extending that player in that trade. It's possible. Like, some of the forward names that are in play here, they've been out there for a while, but I would think that they're least curious of conversation if you're Chris Curry or Ronnie Francis or Chris McFarland in Colorado, Don Waddell in Carolina. Go down the list of these teams that have to be intrigued if you're willing to give up a good piece to get that player that you want.
Dregs, you're starting to see, not that the chatter had died down, but is there a lot more chatter? Do you feel like maybe some of the trades that have been brewing, the trigger might be pulled sooner than later, or do you feel like it'll be close to the deadline just because of the cap and you're bleeding out some of the money type of thing?
Yeah, more of the latter, Noodles, to be fair. Yeah. Like, I guess I look at Carolina because of the injury issues and whatnot, but Carolina might utilize, Pacioretty goes down and he's done. So now they have cap space. So where does that kind of game of poker chicken tip towards the buyer? And that's really what we're going to find out here after the All-Star, I think. I don't see, there's nothing on a front burner, as Cliff Fletcher used to say, that leads me to believe that a team is going to jump here. But if you're a team like Carolina, if you're a team like Edmonton, go down the list. I mentioned Seattle, maybe Colorado, that feels like they want to get ahead of the market. Maybe they've got to do something a little bit more dramatic, but it still feels like it's post All-Star. So it's kind of sad for our industry. And we've talked about this collectively, guys, internally, if not externally, but, we should be talking about, here's what we know, right? Like, here are the teams that are interested in Ryan O'Reilly, even though he's another month away from being healthy. Here's the teams we know are interested in Bo Horvat. Here's the teams that we think are interested, know are interested in Eric Carlson, or go down the list. And we don't. Like, two times a week on Insider Trading, we kick the tires based on good sourcing. But there's nothing that leads us to believe that anything is getting close to getting done.
Yeah, that is too bad. And at some point it should happen. Hopefully it happens. O'Reilly's an interesting one because of how he's kind of different than the other big-name guys. Like, I guess Taves might be kind of in the same mold, but like Kane is an electric offensive guy. Obviously, Timo Meier's putting up great stats. Bo Horvat's putting up great stats. O'Reilly's had an awful year based on health and even when he was playing. So I'm curious how you think the Leafs would approach that based on their history. Like, he's better than Foligno, clearly, but they got burned so badly with that. Do you think Dubas would be gun-shy to take a run at O'Reilly because of that history?
Maybe not the history, Brian. Maybe just, flat out, it really wasn't Foligno's fault. There was injury and there was other things that factored into that. But when you give up the assets like that, I mean, that leaves a stain. There's no doubt about that. So then you look at what's being speculated by others around the NHL. And you see Matthew Nye's name in the mix. Why shouldn't he? Like, why shouldn't Toronto consider trading him? Like, I'm not saying he's in play, but why wouldn't you consider that? Unless you're 100% rock solid certain he's going to step into your lineup and maybe not initially be a difference maker. I mean, come on, it's the National Hockey League. You don't go from NCAA hockey to being a difference maker. But when you look at the group that you have, I feel like you have to consider just about anything that is going to tip you over the top. I don't have a name in place yet. We've speculated on the winger that Toronto might be interested. Is it a defenseman? I mean, how do you know? And honestly, fellas, you know, it's we talk about this every week, but it's still too early. It's still too early. Not like the teams don't know yet in terms of the buyers or the sellers who's all in and who isn't. And when you get that definition, then the market shifts. And is Toronto going to get to that point? Seems like they should, right? Seems like they should. But are we sure they're going to get there? And if they do, then I think everything has to be concerned. The problem with O'Reilly is, where are you playing him? Is he a center, or is he okay with shifting in the wing? And if he's not, then who's shifting in the wing, and what's the payback to the St. Louis Blues? Traditionally, it's always that first-round draft pick and the prospect. And maybe that first changes to a lower pick, a second-round pick, if the prospect is legit and a real good prospect. And I don't think Dubas is ready to show his hand yet.
Well, we'll leave it there, Dregs. We've got a bunch of great games tonight. So yeah. Enjoy those, and we'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
Okay, guys. Have a great night.
Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider.